There is a lot on our plate on this Monday morning on the Home of Sport SEN Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Hello to wherever you're listening right across the SEN network. If you tuned in on the SEN app, you could be absolutely anywhere. You could be somewhere around the world. We would love to hear from you on the Edgewater Homes text line 0457 736 736. You can, of course, call the Motorola open line 1300 01 1170, and we are here for Bryden's Lawyers. And on a Monday morning between 8 and 9, the GOAT joins us, Mr. Cameron Smith. Queensland, Brisbane, top of the table. Dolphins still top four. How are you, Cameron?
I'm very good, boys. I was at the game, the Battle of Brisbane, Dolphins v. the Broncos. What a match. 51,000, almost capacity crowd. It was as big as it gets for a club footy game. I was out the front to start the match, and the whole town was just a buzz with the game. There was Dolphins merchandise everywhere. The Broncos got booed when they ran out on the field. It was quite amazing, boys. But what a night for rugby league.
Yeah, well, another weekend where the Cowboys didn't have a win, so they're back on. But you had the two Queensland derbies, if you will, to have the Cowboys playing Titans and Dolphins Brisbane, so quite impossible for all four Queensland teams to win. But there's some pretty good signs, because I thought Titans were resilient under, it's a shame about the injuries, AJ Brimson in particular, Kieran Foran, but Cowboys a lot better. And then Dolphins, Broncos. I mean, Broncos top of the table. I'm going to ask you right at the top here now, Cameron. I can't remember, where did you have the Broncos in your eight before the season started? Did you have them as a top eight side?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Did you have them as a top four side?
No.
Do you think they're a top four side?
Well, if they're sitting in the top of the table at the moment, Vossie. So if they continue on their little path that they're on, you'd like to think that they can stay there. But it wasn't that long ago that, you know, six rounds to go in last year's season. And I know they had a couple of things go against them, an injury to Herbie Farmworth, and Patrick Carrigan got that 4 or 5 week suspension for the hip drop. That's when their season just all went downhill. But they were sitting inside the top four with six rounds to go. So, you know, that's still in the back of my mind. As good as they are travelling at the moment, unbeaten, atop of the ladder, there is a lot of football to be played. And, you know, for guys like yourself, Vossie and Brandy, who have been around the game for a long, long time, it's good to be excited about, you know, the way a team is travelling and performing. But it's very, very early in the season, and we've got so much of the season to come.
Yeah. Yeah, we're only four rounds in, so small sample size. But you can only judge them on what they've done so far. But
That's right. It's
hard to look in the future and just say where they're going to finish, because of those question marks you still have over a whatever team it is, Cammer. I was staggered that it did come down to the last play. Like, Katoni, if the ball bounces a little bit more awkwardly for Katoni Staggs, the Dolphins were a chance to score a try, you know, right at the death. And to lose O'Sullivan, lose Cody Nikorima, you know, they didn't start with Jeremy Marshall-King, so they lost their second string hooker. Tessie New was playing on one leg. So to stay within 6 points of the Broncos was an incredible effort from the Dolphins.
Oh, it's huge. And many would say, and I believe that could, the result could have possibly, well, easily gone the other way. It could have gone the Dolphins' way. If they were a full strength outfit like the Broncos were, maybe that result was different. Tessie New injured his knee in the first 10 minutes. So he looked like he was going to come from the field, but they didn't really have a replacement or a rotation to change their lineup. So he actually played on one leg. And if you remember where they created that overlap in the first half down his side, and Reece Walsh put him in a touch. If he's 100% fit there and he's not carrying that knee injury, I think he runs over the top of Reece Walsh there and scores, like he'd done in the first three rounds. Like he'd scored some great tries in the corner. So, and you talk about that last play, Brandy. That was a pretty smart kick that Milford put in. He put that low, grubbering kick on that really tight angle, which we've seen many, many times, just a nice bounce for one of his chasers to score. And then maybe we're talking about a Dolphins victory. So if you're in the Broncos camp, extremely happy with where they're at and they're unbeaten and all that sort of stuff, but you need to look back, you know, carefully over that game and say, hey, listen, boys, we may have just got away with one here.
Okay, now I'm going to throw at you, both of you blokes, because you are the rugby league experts here. We're going to play a little game here, and you'd know about this. better, same, or not as good? You have to lock this in. No explanation. Okay. You have to say the side is better, is the same, or not as good. Because take stock of the competition table after four rounds. You're talking top four, Broncos, Sea Eagles, Dolphins, Warriors. Mm-hmm. A lot of the heavy hitters from last year, not there. So I'm going to run through the teams in order from last year. Penrith, better, same, or not as good? Cameron, as last year.
Oh, well,
what you think they are. Better, same, or not as good?
Well, I think just, again, just off the opening month, you have to say not as good.
Not as good. I don't need any explanation. Just that's all. We just put it there. Brandy, tough one for you. Better, same, not as good. Mm.
Well,
that's a tough one for Brandy.
I'll leave you out of it then, Brandy. I'll leave you out of it.
I'm
going to
say the
one.
Same.
Same, okay, the same. Melbourne, throwing it at you, Cameron. Better, same, not as good as last year.
Oh, I think not as good.
Yep.
At this point in time. At this point in time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Dealing with the first four rounds, not as good.
Cowboys, better, same, not as good. And I'm not talking about onwards, what you've seen of them this year.
Ooh. Well, it's hard to say because of, you know, the players that they've been missing. I still think the Cowboys, and Heelam Lukey back in that side, he's a player, Heelam Lukey. They could be better, but at the moment,
that wasn't one of the options. I don't think I said that was one of the options. Could be better. Better, same, or not as good, Cowboys, yeah. Cameron?
Again, going off last year, not as good. I think they've had a pretty poor start. I think they need to be. They're a much better footy side. Those three teams that you mentioned, Vossie, they're better football teams than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. But you see what I'm seeking here, that this competition, these sides are coming back to field. I'll throw Parramatta in. Beaten grand finals last year. Better, same, or not as good? Cameron, Parramatta,
not as good.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, well, going off, because they were grand finalists, right? They finished second, so you would say not as good, but...
Not as good. So where's the... this competition is so open.
So you know what
right
you're getting
now.
At. We know what you're getting at.
Yeah,
it's jam-packed. It's going to be squashed.
Yeah.
And the
defence
rests. Yeah. The defence rests. It just... or the prosecution.
Gee, you mounted a good case there, Andrew.
That's what I'm saying. Well, this is why I look at Cronulla, and I know it's the Dragons, but I look at the ingredients of the Cronulla side.
Yeah.
Origin's not going to be an impact on them. They have a little bit of depth there in the forwards, which I quite like. They have backup for the halfback, Braden Trindle. I think Cronulla have the ingredients to win the competition.
But those teams you named, barring the Cowboys, they've lost some significant players. So when you talk about Melbourne, the Bromwich brothers, Brandon Smith, Felice Kaufusi, all gone. Then when you talk about Penrith, Kikau and Coruscant, two pretty big outs, and the same for Parramatta, Reid Marnie and Papali'i.
Right, and Iokore, Papali'i, yeah.
Yeah, like they're, we're talking significant contributors to those football sides. So, of course, they've been replaced with younger players, so they're going to take a little bit of time to get going. Probably the only side that hasn't lost, you know, significant players like that is the Cowboys. I know Tom Gilbert was a huge part of their football side, but I think he's the only guy that has left that squad from last year that played in the prelims. So, you know, naturally, those teams are not going to be the same or as good starting the year. But, you know, there's still quality outfits. And you know, I guess Brandy and I are judging off this first month of football, which we have not seen their best, I don't believe.
Well, we're all doing it. Now, Cameron, one of the topics that Brandy and I and our listeners have been talking about, we had Tim Horan on last half hour. Rugby union legend, Joseph Swalehi. From the outside looking in, Joseph Swalehi at $1.6 million to rugby union. Will it make you want to watch more rugby union? Is he going to pull your kids through the gates? Gee, I want to watch rugby union now. Joseph Swalehi's going. No, I'm being serious. I'm not being cynical. Yeah. I'm actually, is it money well spent, $1.6 million per season?
Well, look, I think for the overall game, I don't think the ARU are looking at it that way. I think they're more looking at a World Cup opportunity, and him being in that rugby team will allow the Wallabies to have a greater chance of bringing that trophy home, which you know they haven't done for some time. I don't think in particular it's going to make more people go and play rugby. It may get a few more eyeballs on the game because he's such a wonderful talent. We've seen in our own game, and we're very fortunate we've got him for another season and a half. So he's only going to get better. But, I think the positive for our game is that he's still a very young man. When he goes over to rugby, he can do his thing over there. Hopefully he does some really good things. And I'm sure he'll be back in the NRL at some stage.
I think he just disappears into the ether. Like into the black hole that rugby is at the moment. Does anyone know any rugby players? Like they've got no. There's no spotlight on rugby at all, and I don't know if Joseph lifts the sport. I think he just off he goes to rugby
That might be the reason too. Is that they're? They're trying to get some eyeballs on their sport, and Joseph Swalihi is one of the biggest names in our competition right now, even though he's only just started out his career. Maybe you do have some people that continue watching our game, the NRL, and then they go over and try and follow his career when he joins rugby. I'm not too sure. Mm. I think their main goal, though, is to try and bolster their team for this for the World Cup when he goes over, and they can try and win that or even get to the final, deep into the finals, get to the final, because that'll, I guess, in some ways improve rugby in Australia.
Cameron, on now, just before the news, you had a great text from a John who sent a text in, and it's a fair question. Has anyone in rugby union actually asked Joseph, in rugby league, you said you didn't, you turned your back on Australia to play for Samoa because that's where your allegiance was. You said you've been raised a Samoan in the house and in the family. Mm. Is anyone in rugby union entitled to ask, are you sure that you committed to playing for Australia in rugby union, or does 1.6 million solve that problem? I mean, I reckon it's a pretty good point. I think it's a pretty good question to ask. Did anyone actually ask him that if we're paying you half as much, do you have this burning desire to play for Australia? I think it's a bloody fair question.
Yeah, it's a fair question to ask because, he chose not to play for Australia in the World Cup. I think a fair reason for that happening in the recent Rugby League World Cup, though, Vossi, was the opportunity to play fullback. And I think if he took on the opportunity to play for Australia, I think at best he would have been on the wing because there was no way he was going to take the number one jersey from James Tedesco. There's no doubt about that. So I think the main reason he went over to Samoa was to wear the number one jersey. And when he's playing in rugby now, I think he'll get the position that he wants to play. He played a lot of fullback or outside centre as a schoolboy rugby player.
Interesting. Anyway, interesting to see what happens.
It's a lot of dough either way.
Well, it is. I think that text, John, from Janelli said, well, money talks. Well, of course it does. Let's be honest. Like 1.6, that's too hard to turn down, whether you're playing for the Wallabies or Samoa. That'll make your mind up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Who you're going to play for. We spoke briefly to Dave Riccio about the Dragons and Ben Hunt's press conference, the post-match presser with Ben Hunt and Anthony Griffin last night. Ben Hunt was critical of the Dragons' management. Cameron, if you ever fronted a press conference and you were critical of the Melbourne Storm management publicly, there's a problem. If the captain's speaking out publicly, there's some issues, and boy, it can sweep through the camp pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly, a guy like Ben Hunt, who's been around for a long, long time. I don't think he's going into a press conference after a match just throwing comments out willy-nilly. I think, he would have thought about what he was saying and he would have knew what he was saying. And there's a bit happening there at the moment. Of course, the news last week came out that Anthony Griffin had to reapply for his job, essentially, that they were going to be searching for a new coach moving forward. So, as players, it's you know, and I know Ben Hunt and Anthony Griffin have a great
They're
relationship.
Close.
They have got a great yeah. relationship, but they've known each other for a long, long time now as a player and coach. So, you know, I guess that's captain backing his coach up there a little bit, which is what we want to see, right? We want to see players backing their coach up as coaches do backing their players up. Unfortunately, the really hard thing for Anthony Griffin is that there hasn't been a lot of results go his way as coach. I think his win percentage at the Dragons over his 50-odd games it's around 40% win ratio, which isn't high. It's not terrible. There'd be a lot of coaches in our competition right now with the same winning percentage, but that's the hardest thing. In our game, our business is about winning. It's about performance. And if the Dragons, if the Dragons can find some wins for him over the next month, the narrative will change and that noise will slowly go away.
Brisbane Eel says, would 1.6 get anyone to play for the West Tigers at the moment?
1.6 mil?
Well,
Tigers always get
That's a good question, Brisbane Eel. I don't know if
I can
answer that
one. That's also a good question. It's great. This one. Has anyone asked Joseph Swalihi if he actually likes playing rugby union, over rugby league? It's the league nuff-nuffs that are taking umbrage. If he likes playing rugby over league, you know, so far in his short life, relatively speaking, in his sporting life, he's played rugby union, he's played rugby league. Does he perhaps like playing rugby union more than league? Yeah, Peter Valandis came out with a sarcastic comment. That might be the case.
Just on the grassroots thing and all, you know, Kings, going to King's College, I don't class that as grassroots. But Vossi, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure Joseph Swalihi started his footballing life out at Penrith at Glenmore Park playing rugby league, league. He was a league player, and then they realised what a talent he was, and he got a scholarship to King's. He only played rugby union because he went to King's College.
It's a rugby school.
You can't play rugby league at the college. The GPS schools bar rugby league because they're scared of it. Yeah, let's call a spade a spade. They're scared of rugby league taking over. Yeah. So they only let them play rugby union. Imagine if that was a women's sport and girls weren't allowed to play a particular sport. There'd be an outcry. Mm. But in GPS system, you can't play rugby league. Good point, Brandy. 22 after 8. Cameron Smith is going to come back with his Pull Up Your Socks for Underworks nominations in a moment. Who has to pull up your socks out of the weekend? We'll find that out in a moment. If you've got a question for Cameron, the GOAT, fire it in on the Edgewater Homes text line 0457 736 736.
Vossi, this one was from before, but it, you can include Cameron in it because there's a question very similar for him. Vossi and Brandy, how long do you stay patient with Kyle Flanagan? And are Jaden Ockenbaugh and Corey Waddell up to the first grade standard? I did say through yesterday's game that the pressure on Matt Burton is increasing as the season gets longer for him to do everything. He's the runner, the kicker. He looks like he's organising, but in terms of threatening the line, if you're not getting help from somewhere else, Hayes Perham is a runner, not a passer, whereas Kyle Flanagan's a passer, not a runner. Matt Burton's trying to do a bit of everything, and I think it's the load's too big on him.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think Kyle Flanagan, like, you got to remember, he's not a rookie anymore. He's been around for quite some time. He's played, 60-odd games. So you'd like to think that he's going to be able to he's got the ability to take control of this footy side. I agree. Matt Burton, he's not that style of player that he's an organiser, a guy that controls their game plan. A bit like a Cameron Munster for the Melbourne Storm, where he's much more dangerous when he hangs out on his left edge. When he gets an opportunity with retreating defence and quick play of the balls, that's when he pounces. He just needs someone there just to steer the ship a little bit. I think Kyle Flanagan has that ability. I don't know if his confidence has been rocked over the last sort of 12 to 18 months with a few decisions around his career. But certainly at this stage now where he's played, 60-plus games, I think, Brandy and Vossi, you'd like to think that he has the ability to do that for the Bulldogs.
Well, there couldn't, you know, in all fairness, there couldn't be another halfback in the competition that could go a whole set without touching the ball. And that happened on more than one occasion yesterday with Canterbury. I mean, that's alarming. Your halfback, your number seven, in an attacking set, doesn't touch the ball. I mean, that can't be how you train during the week, surely.
That you get so did the Bulldogs bite the bullet and put Carl Opal... what's he? How do you say his second name, Bossy?
Oluapu, the young fella from the Broncos. They signed on a 4-year contract, been in the Broncos system since 13, and they've now got him there, Oluapu. I don't know. You know, they might have to. They might have to. Could have won yesterday, mind you. Does winning disguise that? We will take a call from America straight out of the news this morning. And Cameron Smith with his pull-up your socks nominations for underwork. So we'll quickly go to the news and come back with more.
Vanessa, thank you. We're here for Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness. Contact Bryden's Lawyers. Dan.
Hello, Moto.
Motorola Overline is 1300 011 70. Affordable to premium smartphones. Visit motorola.com.au. And the Edgewater Homes text line is 0457 736 736. Edgewaterhomes.com.au. Why isn't Burton putting up those spirals that go out of the atmosphere? Hasn't put one up this year. Yeah, he hasn't either. He's kicked very, just end over end. He put up one the previous week.
No, one. Okay. No, I was calling and the crowd went nuts when he put it up at, so he's got it in, at Belmore.
Just put it in the back pocket.
Yeah. Now, we go to the United States. This is what we said. On SEN app, we can be broadcasting anywhere. And Greg from Oregon is on the line. And, Brandy, I should just throw it over to you because you know Greg very well.
Greg, good morning. I met Greg a couple of weeks ago when he was in Australia. He's a Panthers fan that lives in Oregon. How are you, mate?
Good, Greg. It's good to talk to you.
What's happening? What's happening in Oregon? My hand is okay. Yeah, it's recovering.
Good. Get back on the golf course. It's just raining right now. Yeah. We got to do that. I've decided to enroll in school for the sports media and marketing at Full Sail University, so possibly I can work in rugby league one day.
Oh, you could be the U.S. correspondent for
there you go
rugby league for SEN correspondent in Oregon. Sounds good.
Signed. That's right.
Yeah, $1.6 million a year.
But I don't want to live in America anymore, Greg. I want to live in
Australia.
So that's the goal.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Well, you study hard, Greg, and get yourself back here to Australia.
I will. I want to work for the Panthers someday. That's the goal. But, you know,
Greg, where are you watching your rugby league in America? How are you getting access to your rugby league right now this year? Are things any different? Is it easy to access rugby league?
It's the easiest. Now it's easier than ever. They have the Watch NRL app, and if you're outside of Australia, New Zealand, you can watch it live on your telephone and or any device. So me and my dad watch every game. We can follow it. We couldn't follow rugby league very well for about 20-something years, but now we are right back in it, so... been really exciting, especially the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, you would have loved the footy, even though the Panthers went down 17-16 on Thursday night, Greg, but it's been an incredible start to the season, and it's good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you, and stay in touch.
Yeah, I will, and I'll just give a plug out to Laurie Renshall, and Roy Simmons was a little bit down about his foundation being not kind of losing momentum, so I was trying to help him out with his dementia foundation.
Good man. Good man, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Take care. Greg of Oregon on the Motorola Open Line 1300 011 70. Pull up your socks for Underworks. All-day socks by Underworks pass every comfort test. Pick up a pair and test them for yourself. I'm interested to know where Cameron's going to take us with this one from the weekend in rugby league and sport. Pull up your socks for Underworks. What comes to mind?
Oh, I'm going to have a little dig at the officials here over across the weekend, boys. Just a couple. I know they're soft, easy targets, but just a couple of they were howlers, I thought. The McInnes bump on Sloan yesterday, missed that one where they went down and they end up scoring. Cronulla end up scoring with Jesse Ramian. Like, that's a clear obstruction of the fullback. Like, how are you allowed to do that? He pretty much just took the fullback out.
He was past the ball. Like, he'd run past the ball. The ball landed a metre and a half behind him, and he took Sloan out where Sloan didn't even get a chance to get close to the footy. Agree. That's a good
one. That was one. What about the Brad Parker forward pass?
Oh,
that was
horrible. Horrible.
Passed backwards.
Like, shocker.
Potential Manly try there and maybe possibly a different result. This is probably, and this is maybe a little bit divisive, this one. What about the Sean Johnson try for Noah Blake going through, taking out Reid Marnie?
Shouldn't have been a try. Like,
Brandy, every day of the week we've seen so many of those taken off try scorers, haven't we?
That Adam Fanua Blake didn't keep moving and stood in the road of a defender trying to get to a play. Now, whether he gets to him to make the tackle, Sean Johnson probably still scores, but
that's
right. I said through yesterday, Cam, that how do we know that Reid Marnie wouldn't have knocked the ball out of Sean Johnson's arms? But he didn't. He didn't get to have a play at it. So
that's right.
That's a penalty. Like, for the last 10 years, that's been a penalty.
Yeah, absolutely.
20
absolutely.
Years. 20
so that's
years.
That's my little. I agree. That's my little pull your socks up moment, boys.
Yeah. I jump on board with that. I'm on that bus. Now, Stu from Cronulla says, as one of the best goal kickers, and this is my pull up your socks moment. But it's directed at you too, Cam. As one of the best goal kickers, can you explain why Zach Lomax has changed his kicking tees, which appear to be lower to the ground? He seems to be duck hooking, which he did in both kicks yesterday, all his long-range attempts. What's doing? Stu from Cronulla. Zach, man, don't change your kicking style.
Yeah.
Like, don't change your golf swing. Duck hook, low duck hooks.
Particularly when you're coming off a season where I thought he kicked extremely well last year. Like, his percentages were high. You know, he was slotting them from all sorts of places on the field. Like, particularly out wide, he was quite accurate. I don't know why he's gone the different style and a different setup. Like, it changes your kicking when you set the ball up lower to the ground. It automatically changes. The result of, the flight of the football at least. So, I think he might go back to his old kicking style this week.
Vossi, what do you got?
Pull up your socks, Brandy. Yeah, no, you. We reveal everything on this program. Cameron, we had a call up earlier in the program. See, Brandy went on air. You've seen his hand now. You've seen the cast. That was quite a shock. He showed you the hand. You're up there in the Gold Coast studios. You see this massive thing all over his hand. And yesterday he appeared on Fox League on the panel, and he's wearing shirt and suit. And someone innocently asked, how was that done? How was that done? And Brandy says he refuses to say. Well, no, that's of great interest to our audience, Brandy. We want to know every little detail about this incredible...
Well,
surgical
we've
cover.
Heard some...
How are you getting? How did you get a shirt on and a suit over the top of that massive cast?
Well, we've heard some stories recently. Yeah, we've heard some stories recently about tough players who cut off their casts as they're to play. I said I'm gonna do it for the team. I'm gonna cut the cast off, and then you can recast it after the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So you just cut it off. And then they
cut it off.
I
said, I'm playing, boys. I'm playing.
To put
cut
a
it
suit
off,
on
and then I had to
shirt.
Go to the hospital.
Team
go
first
back to the hospital
mentality,
after the game
see?
To get it cut.
Team first.
Yeah, team first.
Brandy,
right.
Was there any thought to the fact that you could go the Sonny Bill Williams white singlet? like on Channel 90, where's the white singlet? Did you think of wearing a white singlet on set yesterday? And you wouldn't have to then drag something over the claw.
Andrew, anyone over 50 is not wearing a singlet. Like,
right, okay.
They're barred. There's a lot of things that shouldn't happen when you do after you turn 50. Singlets are one of those things that are no-go.
Okay, now on that note, now this is something different, boys. It was brought to our attention earlier today by a caller off air we took. Are you aware that the SCG, and Cameron, this is probably news to you, the SCG and the Sydney Football Stadium brought down you no longer need to wear a collared shirt into the members. What do you think about that, eh? No need to wear a collared shirt now. Has Sonny Bill forced that change with the white singlet and the sports jacket? So the members No collared shirt. Now, I assume that has been in there since the word dot. Yeah, you know, like
day
from
dot.
From the day dot. Collared shirts are out. There you go, Cameron.
That's a big move.
I can see that's big news. That there, Vossy.
Yeah, yep. Riffraff in the in the members now. It's going to be.
Okay. Any more comment on that? That's it. That was a good story.
What about this text line? What about this text line? I'll just change the subject to get off that. This text line. RC and Hay said, to your point, Vossie, there's a side who don't want their halfback touching the ball every set. He says the Tigers.
Oh, no.
That's cruel. That's cruel blood. But they're just the whipping boys. And I'm on their rickshaw with the Tigers. They'll be back this weekend.
Western Sydney.
Fellas, we'll take a break. We've got a million texts to get through.
Break.
A million. And we need to take an ad break and come back and we'll play Fast Money.
Vossie, yes moments for Optus. Great business starts with yes. Search Optus Business or call their dedicated business team today. Your yes moment from the weekend, Andrew?
Oh, mine's Nicho Hynes. Well, look, you could go all the way back to last Thursday, but I'll just go with the most recent thing that I saw. And Nicho Hynes' return to the NRL last night was, you know, just fantastic for the game and for Cronulla. So definitely a yes moment. Cameron, yours?
Yeah, well, I've got the Warriors, boys. Although there was that controversial moment where Sean Johnson scored that late try to seal the game, watching rugby league over there in Auckland, Mount Smart Stadium, Brandy, you played a little bit of footy over there. Full house, they got a win. They're sitting in the top eight. Just loving what they're doing at the moment, and it's great to see the Warriors playing well and being successful.
Yeah, and you know what? So important that they that was their first home game because their first round one game was
That's
in Wellington.
Right.
So
That's
first
right.
game at Mount Smart Stadium, they win. They play great footy to win. They came from behind twice, and yeah, fantastic win for them. I give my yes moment to Lachie Miller. I thought Lachie Miller was outstanding in Newcastle's win over the Raiders. And talking about important home wins after being beaten by the Dolphins at Newcastle last week. They were desperate to get a win and were good enough to beat the Raiders. So Lachie Miller gets my yes moment.
All of that for Optus. Great business starts with yes. Search Optus Business or call their dedicated business team today. Rapid fire on the text. How good is it that Greg from Oregon comes out for a visit, falls in love with the place, plans on moving here full time? Australia has me, he said. I hope things work out for him. Western Sydney Eagle. This one from the tool man, Cameron. A short end to this one. Is it worth giving Josh Reynolds a chance at halfback for the Dog? He had plenty of energy yesterday in the Reggies. The tool man. Josh Reynolds, go back? Is that a
Josh
world
Reynolds,
that you go back to?
Josh Reynolds, the grub. I'll tell you what, he's a competitor. He is a competitor. Mm. So that's one thing you're guaranteed. If you give him a jersey, give him a shot, he'll take it with both hands and he'll whoever they're playing, he will attack the opposition.
Here's one, Cam from Newey, Brandy. Marika Corabetti is the biggest star in the Wallabies, and he came from league as well. So he is the John Eales medal winner, was he, last year? Wonder how he feels about someone coming now across to get $1.6 million. Now, that's an interesting point too. Those that are there, I don't know the salaries of rugby union players, but I wonder how they feel about $1.6 million, really? $1.6
million? He's been a star for the Wallabies for a number of years now, since he left Melbourne. He's been one of their best players.
Well, what should he be getting paid if you're giving someone one?
Yeah, I don't know what he's getting paid, but I don't think someone like Marika, Cam wouldn't bother him whether Cameron Joseph Swali he was getting $1.6 million, would it?
No, I don't think so. No, and he's done really well, Marika. Going over to rugby, I agree. I think he's actually up in Japan at the moment. I think he's playing for the team that was formerly known as Panasonic, the Wild Knights. So he's up there playing in Japan. So. Which I think he'll be getting.
He's probably earning
remunerated
$1.6 million.
Quite well, yeah. I believe. You get paid quite well in the Japanese rugby comp.
Yeah, I know, Cameron. We keep going back to this every week. You've said before you don't think Billy Slater would take the Storm job, but our listener wants to know if Billy Slater went to coach the Storm, would Cameron go? And maybe take over as Queensland coach. Now, we've never asked you that question, Cameron. If the Queensland coaching job was available, would you coach Queensland, Cameron?
Oh, I don't know. That's a difficult one to answer right now. I think being a part of the coaching staff suits my situation right now. I'm Vossi, you know, I enjoy sitting out on my ride on mower and mowing my lawn and having a bit more time to myself rather than these head coaches, mate. They spend too much time watching too Vision hard. And Rugby League and all that sort of stuff. I love talking to you guys too on tough, SEN. I wouldn't be able to do it if I was a head coach of a team.
No. But Origin? Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. Hey, Cameron, you have a good week. We look forward to the captain's run this week with Den and Kemp, and look forward to chatting with you back on the breakfast program next Monday between 8 and 9.
Thanks, fellas. Good See you next week.
See you, mate.
Just flew past this morning. We'll bring it Didn't home it? In just a moment. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on the Home of Sport SEN. Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.